Complaints about alleged excessive force by police officers have dominated national news since the summer. Now, a University of Iowa student has complaints of his own. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Grayson Scoggin says a recording of his arrest by campus police this year shows an officer using excessive force. We'll talk with him and hear excerpts from the video. Also in the program, a proposed $100 attorney fee to fund legal aid fuels debate, a conversation with Iowa's 2015 Teacher of the Year, and Iowa State University leads a new center for bioplastics and biocomposites. Buckle up for your news buzz after this news from NPR. It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Coming up, a chat with Iowa's Teacher of the Year. But first, complaints about whether excessive force by police officers was justified have dominated national news since the summer. And now a University of Iowa student says a recording of his arrest by campus police shows an officer using excessive force on him. Grayson Scoggin posted a video a week ago today. Already, it has over 50,000 views, and we'll put it on our post of this show as well at iowapublicradio.org. The video was recorded by a police dashboard camera, and audio also picked up by the mic on the arresting officer, who was identified as Greg Hall, the video obtained by Scoggin's Journey. Grayson Scoggin joins me now by phone. Grayson Scoggin, welcome to our program.
Hi. It's wonderful to be here. I'm a big fan of IPR, and I really appreciate the opportunity to tell my story.
Well, let's hear your account of what happened. I understand this is September 12th, very late, 2:30 in the morning on that Friday night. We have some audio of it, but please start off by telling us what happened that night.
Well, I had been out at the bars with a couple of my friends. We had been drinking, but really nothing excessive. And at the end of the night, we decided to walk home instead of drive. We weren't extremely intoxicated, but we thought it would be the best thing to do. And on the walk home, I'm at, I think, North Capitol Street in Burlington. And I come to it, and I see a police officer in the turn lane. So I obviously think that I should probably wait for the light to pass in this particular situation, just because I didn't want to cause any, distress that particular night. Who wants to jaywalk right in front of a police car? So when the light turns, the police car is actually in the turn lane, so I gave him the right of way, and I hadn't actually pressed the button yet. He approaches me directly, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I'm kind of confused for about a second because he's not speaking to me or trying to get my attention in any real way. The window's not rolled down. So I decide to continue walking on, and then I'm walking down the street, and the next thing I know, I see the lights, and I presume that there was, in fact, something going on, and I hear some noise, and I think the officer is trying to get somebody else's attention, and I just want to get home and don't really want any part of it.
Let's listen to it. This is picking up at the point where the police officer now is out of the car and asking you to stop. Let's listen here a moment.
Hey, come here. Canvas, we're going to be running here real shortly. Hey, come here. Hey.
Doc, what are you doing? Okay, what do you think I was talking to you?
I'm not good to go.
No, you're not.
Okay, the officer saying, as identified as Greg Hall, saying, you say, am I free to go? And he says, no, you're not. So he comes up from behind you. What happens at that point? Because this is all on the dashboard camera. We put the link at iowapublicradio.org. What happens?
Well, I try to show him. We have a brief conversation, and I try to show him my ID. He is very angry that I went for my pockets in order to do so, and he swipes the wallet, which by that time was clearly a wallet in my hand, out of my hand, and he knocks it several feet away. And he's very angry about that. And I can understand that to some point. It was perhaps a mistake that I was trying to show him my ID. I was just trying to be accommodating.
Okay, let's listen to a bit of that audio that picks up from where we left off to the point about reaching into your pocket to get your ID.
Good to go.
No, you're not.
Right in front of
right on.
I was talking to you to see if you were okay. Okay. How much you had to drink tonight, guys?
I'm trying to walk home.
You're trying to walk home?
Have I made a disturbance?
Yeah, because I wanted to see if you were okay after your butt got hit by that car after wandering out in the middle of the street. Keep your hands out of your pocket.
Dude, what are you doing?
I'm trying to pull out my ID.
Don't stick your hands in your pockets on me at all. Don't ever do that.
I'm trying to walk home, sir.
Okay, okay.
His thought is that it's something dangerous to him.
I can understand that. I think enough time had elapsed that it was clearly a wallet. Regardless, it was, you know, I can understand the sentiment that you don't want to put your hands in your pockets when around a police officer. And I just haven't had much experience with police officers, and the thought really didn't enter my head. But once you made it clear, don't go for your pockets, didn't do it again at any point.
Okay, what happened after that?
The officer decided that he was going to arrest me, and I'm a little irritated because he said, you know, something I knew to be untrue, and I'm not irritated, I'm frustrated about it. And I asked him what I did wrong, and he basically decides that I'm going to be a violent person and throws me to the ground, even though I had displayed no violent behavior. I mean, so I'm body slammed to the ground, and then after a short while, he continues applying force after I had put my hands on my head, and I'm afraid, so I start yelling, my hands are on my head, just to make sure that he knew that I wasn't resisting him.
Okay, let's listen to that part. Let's listen to that part of the video.
Don't stick your hands in your pockets on me at all. Don't ever do that.
I'm trying to walk home, sir.
Okay, okay. Why don't you just put your hands on your back right now?
I'm a soldier.
I don't care. I'm just.
Have you done anything wrong?
Sir,
what have I done wrong?
Don't fight me.
What have I done wrong, sir?
Campus for fighting?
No.
Right there. Stop.
My hands over my head. My hands over my head. My hands over my head. My hands are behind my head. My hands are behind my head.
Okay, my hands are behind my head, repeated probably over 20 times there. Other squad cars show up seconds later. You're on the ground with two or three officers on you?
Very quickly, it's two officers. And then I think I yelled, my hands are on my head, another 20 times or so.
Mm-hmm. Why did you continue to yell that?
Because they kept hurting me. They kept applying a tremendous amount of force. I'd call it wildly excessive, considering the fact that I was in the least violent position known to man.
You're on your stomach. Let's picture this. You're on your stomach with your hands behind your head.
You really can't do much from that position.
And what is the officer telling you?
He's not really telling me anything. He's pretty quiet throughout the entire time. Officer Greg Hall, in fact, never instructs me to put my hands anywhere else. He's just... I'm just sort of clueless. He's behind me, on top of me, just kind of hurting me and trying to tug me which way, or, you know, every which way, and I don't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we get to the end of this in that you are cuffed and arrested. Several other patrol cars show up, and you are taken and you spend the night in the jail.
I am, yeah.
Okay. Well, after that, and then after that, you go to the emergency room. You've sustained what kind of injuries?
The doctor said blunt force trauma to the chest. Essentially, that's bruised ribs, which doesn't really sound like a terrible injury. But for the first 5 days, I was pretty much unable to do anything but sit in a chair. It was extremely painful, and then it persisted for over a month. I also had like a number of like pretty significant bruises throughout the rest of my body. We got some very pictures of when they first incurred them, like 12 hours after, so they don't look like much, but they were quite severe at the end of the day.
Okay, we're talking with Grayson Scoggin, and he has put a YouTube video on saying what he says is excessive force used by University of Iowa campus police. You can see that video at iowapublicradio.org. We contacted, of course, the University of Iowa. Joe Brennan, the Vice President of Strategic Communications at the University of Iowa, declined our invitation to be part of this conversation. He said, quote, Mr. Scoggin is facing criminal charges in relationship to the incident for which university police were the arresting officers. It would not be appropriate for university officials to discuss this criminal case publicly at this time. So where are you legally at this time? What are you contending through your lawyer?
Well, legally, it's kind of funny because there's been a lot of changes in the past couple of days. Originally, I went to the University of Iowa Student Legal Services, and they were representing me. But as the matter has grown in publicity in recent days, the Public Defender's Office has contacted me and has expressed a desire to take on the case. And given that my attorneys at the University of Iowa think there might be a conflict of interest. They haven't expressed that they've been pressured whatsoever from the university in the slightest. In fact, I think they're just heading off any potential conflict of interest. They suggested that I go with a public defender.
So in legal terms, though, what are you contending? That you were unlawfully stopped, violating your rights?
Oh, yes. Legally, I believe that's the strategy. That's what we're contesting. The stop was illegal because the police officer was stopping me under the community caretaker exception, which is to say that the officer was stopping to see how I was doing. And then when I asked if I was free to go, he was unlawfully detaining me. That's really the argument that we're proposing.
Okay, so this is radio. We can't see your skin color. Do you believe your ethnicity had anything to do with this?
You know, it's kind of funny because I'm actually white, but I'm very tan, and I had just spent 6 months in the desert, so I was exceptionally tan at the moment, and I was walking, and I'm a big guy, too. I was walking down the street wearing a black hoodie, so it's very suspicious, especially considering the fact that I really wasn't hit by a car. I mean, all the evidence kind of points to that. You know, the video evidence certainly does.
What does a police report say about your ethnicity?
The police report says my ethnicity is Hispanic. I had actually been asked the question by the police officer, and I told him I was white, and for whatever reason, he put down Hispanic. And I don't have a drop of Hispanic blood in me, so it's not something I would have said.
Mm-hmm. You said in the interview, we heard in the audio, you said, I'm a soldier. Are you, in fact, a soldier?
I am, in fact, a soldier. I've been accused a lot of people by I've been accused by a lot of people of stolen valor lately, but I am a soldier. I've been in for a couple of years now, and I'm very proud to serve my country.
Now, let's talk about the release of the video. That only got mm-hmm. into your hands. Your lawyer got the release of the video from the University of Iowa police?
Yes. I had originally, before I had even contacted my lawyers, I had actually made the request for the video. So this was, I believe, the same day I got out of jail. I drafted a letter and sent it to the University of Iowa Police, the Iowa City Police, and the county attorney. So same day I got out of jail. And then by the time my lawyers took on the case, they were already immediately in contact with the county attorney. Because I had already requested this.
Now this
so we got the video.
This video on YouTube, getting many tens of thousands of views. Did your lawyer suggest you put it on YouTube as a strategy?
No, they did not. They I actually was really frustrated because the trial was supposed to originally be today, actually, and the county attorney failed to get back to my attorneys with the list of the police officers involved. So we had to request a continuation until March 6th. So I was very frustrated, and I sent an email to my attorneys asking, hey, can I post this video? Because, you know, I was going to tell my story whether it was before the trial or after, regardless. They said, hey, you know, let's look into the ethics of it. You know, you probably can. I don't know if it's a good idea. So they sent me that email back on Friday. I posted it without really getting an answer from them. And then on the following Monday, they emailed me and said, well, we saw you posted the video. So they didn't tell me whatsoever.
What are you looking at going forward? Do you have a new court date?
Yes, it's on March 6th, hoping to just have my day in court, and then I am fairly confident it'll be not guilty on both counts.
This all comes amidst finals. You have finals week coming up. Didn't expect that for your finals week.
No, it's been extremely disturbing to my studying for finals. I didn't plan for media interviews every day.
Okay. Grayson Scoggin, thank you for joining us. And again, we want to mention that we asked the University of Iowa to comment on this case. They declined our invitation to be part of this conversation. Grayson Scoggin, thank you for telling us your side of the story, and we'll be watching this case as it goes forward.
All right. Thank you again.